Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Away we go, our numero dos of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Coming up in this hour of the show, very, very busy in the 7 o'clock hour. We are going to hit our water cooler cheat sheet here in just mere moments from right now. At 7:20, Rob Inario is going to jump on board once again, sponsor of the Elio Santa Toy Drive that kicks off tomorrow, an incredible event that is put on every year to help give Christmas to some underprivileged kids across the upstate. And on top of that, Rob's just a hilarious dude. So we'll have Rob Inario coming up at 7:20, and then when we're done with that, Denton Day, the host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime, is going to join the show. We'll get his reaction to last night's playoff rankings release as well. I imagine Denton's going to have a lot of the same takes that I have, but we will find out and we will see what it is that he felt a grievance over last night. Coming up at 7:40. At 8:40, Kyle Mountain, the head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, is going to join us on the show. We'll talk a little rabbit hockey with him as the boys are back in town this weekend, a Friday and Saturday nighter at the Bonscore Wellness Arena for the Upstate's local hockey team. We'll talk to Kyle Mountain at 8:40. And around those segments, the show belongs to you. 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. That's the number for the renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. You can text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, and we will read those on the air. You can tweet me at The Rob Brown Show. You can tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. Hit up everybody at The Fan Upstate. My social media handle across Instagram, TikTok as well, at The Rob Brown Show. Give me a follow there. Couple of texts that you guys sent in during the break there. Texter said, Rob, it's always the goal to get Bama in. I point to the 2007 and 2011 for reference. I would point to 2023 as well. I would point to literally last year. Again, I know a lot of you bought into the, well, Florida State's quarterback is down narrative that was sold to you. I ranted and raved, and a lot of you said, oh, you're just a Florida boy being butthurt about a Florida team getting left out. I said, look, I don't care. I don't care about it being Florida State specifically. What I care about is the fact that this feels like a ploy to fit Bama in so that you don't have a playoffs without the SEC. And I said, the reason I'm mad about it is because this is going to be the precedent. And this being the precedent is going to impact some of you. And here we are literally a year later. And it literally happened the next year. South Carolina being impacted by that theory. If you believe that that theory is taking place. Texter said, Rob, they were behind us and we beat Clemson. And explain Clemson jumping four spots after beating Citadel. But Gamecocks only one spot for beating Clemson. Here's the problem, and I understand it. I get it. Clemson beats the Citadel. They rock it up. You guys go on the road, meet Clemson, you move up a single spot. The answer is it's a lot more dense at the top. The rankings are a lot more dense at the top. How do you justify? Now, Miami, I can justify putting South Carolina ahead of Miami. I can justify that. I'm not saying I think it's the right thing to do. I'm saying I can justify it. But how do you justify putting a three-loss football team ahead of Boise State, who is 11-1, who is in and likely to win the Mountain West Conference Championship, who lost to the number one-ranked Oregon Ducks by 3 points, the second closest loss that Oregon had all year, the first being Ohio State? How do you justify a three-loss team jumping Boise State when they are blowing everybody's doors off, with the exception of the second-best team in the Mountain West, UNLV, who they play again this weekend, in Oregon? How do I justify a three-loss SEC team over an 11-1 Indiana? Strength of schedule matters, But it is one of the things that matters, not the only thing that matters. I think what a lot of us do is we pick the metric that we think makes the best argument for our team. And then we go off on that being the metric that we think is most important, right? Strength of schedule is what the Gamecocks are harping on right now. And you should. You had one of the best in the country. I think it was number 8 this year. Honestly, I think it was closer to 4 or 5, but that's just me. If South Carolina's your team, you absolutely think strength of schedule is the most important metric. If Ole Miss is your team, you're making the argument that head-to-head is more important of a metric. Why? Because you beat South Carolina head-to-head, and that's the team you're competing for that spot with. If you are Alabama, you're probably going with a mix of the two. It just depends on what team you are. So strength of schedule being a metric, I would say, do I think South Carolina beats Indiana? Does South Carolina beat Indiana if they play this weekend neutral site, Lonzo?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too. But they also just put 63 up on a weak opponent, right? 63. So I think that matters. Can I put them ahead of 11-1 SMU, whose only loss was to a then top 10 BYU team? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, the top is more dense. There's more fluidity in where you can move from, you know, 14 down to 25. But let's keep it a buck. A lot of that's because it doesn't matter down there. Being 16 or being 36 is irrelevant. It doesn't change your, other than your bowl destination, which who cares anymore? It doesn't really impact your postseason future. It impacts it when you're talking 13 and up. Now you're talking playoffs or not. That's why there's so much more. We'll come to some more of your text here in just a little while from now, but it is 7:06 in the morning. You are 53 and some change away from getting into work. You're going to talk sports. You got to know what's going on. That's why we do this. Water cooler cheat sheet, top 3 sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this AM. We got you covered. Let's dive right in with item number 1. Not an enormous surprise here that the Oregon Ducks top your college football rankings. Not a surprise that Texas is number 2. Not much of a surprise that Penn State, Notre Dame, and Georgia round out the top 5. It is after that where controversy started to kick in amongst college football fans. The Buckeyes of Ohio State lose to an unranked Michigan team and score only 10 points in the process at the crib, but they fall down 4 spots only to number 6, which you will keep in mind puts them in line to play a home playoff game. And what's even more interesting than that is that it puts them in line to play a home playoff game if nothing changes in the bracket, which is unlikely, but if nothing changes in the bracket, the Tennessee Volunteers would be coming up to play Ohio State in Columbus. Now, it's cold in Tennessee in December. I'm not arguing. But I think, and Lonzo was more equipped to answer this question than me, Tennessee cold's a little different than Columbus cold in the midst of December.
Well, Rob, Tennessee has mountains, so it's yeah. Tennessee, you're not going to get an advantage with the cold.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
You're not.
That's, again, I've been
in Tennessee in winter, and it's just as cold as it is.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good for Tennessee. I mean, maybe that doesn't make much of an impact. We'll see. But there's also the possibility that any other team, it could be SMU, that ends up in that spot. Actually, it's not, because if they win, they get a bye. But it could be Boise State that ends up on the road at Columbus. Again, maybe not that much of an impact. We'll see. Either way, playing in Columbus, even if the Buckeye fans are a little sadsies about the loss to Michigan, Columbus is still a tough place to go win a football game, whether it's cold or the middle of August. It doesn't matter. We'll see. Ohio State drops down to number 4. Rounding out the top 10, Tennessee, not in the SEC championship game. SMU, in the ACC championship game. 11-1 Indiana is up one spot to number 9. A lot of folks saying they don't deserve to be there because of the schedule they play being as weak as it was. Although they blew everybody's doors off with a couple of rare exceptions. Lost the only big ranked game they played against Ohio State. Boise State number 10. Alabama slides in at number 11. Here's where the controversy starts. Bama number 11, one spot ahead of number 12, Miami, who is 10-2 out of the ACC, but did not really play a tough schedule either. And Miami is ahead of Ole Miss and South Carolina. This is the spot that there's the most controversy for me. And like I told Lonzo a few days ago, when he said, we'll be talking about it this way with this much intensity, if it was a 14 playoff, the answer is, yeah. But we talk about 3-4. We are talking about 11 and 12, and it just happens to be that one of the teams from this area is in that discussion. Arizona State, Iowa State, Clemson at 17, BYU, Mizzou, and UNLV wrap up your top 20. The bottom 20 of the bottom five of the top 25 is Illinois, Syracuse, Colorado, Army, and Memphis. Let's get to item number two. The biggest domino remaining in the MLB free agency period, and the domino that I think will kick off what is going to be the hottest portion of the hot stove portion of the major league calendar, Juan Soto is expected to sign with his next team or re-sign with his current team coming up by this end, by the end of this week. That is according to Alden Gonzalez of ESPN. He reports that Juan Soto's free agency is nearing its final stages and that the star outfielder could pick his destination by the end of the week. There are five teams that are courting Juan Soto right now. Obviously, the New York Yankees are one of them. Their crosstown rival, the New York Mets, are one of them. We know that that team does not have an issue handing out money. The Toronto Blue Jays are one of those teams. Toronto, not known for spending a ton of money, but are willing to go sign some superstars, is Juan Soto one. Boston Red Sox, LA Dodgers are the other two teams in the mix right now, though the Dodgers, I think, are more feeling it out than they are actual contenders. I think they're more getting prepared, because once Juan Soto signs, he's going to reset the market. Why? Because Juan Soto, at 26 years old, is expected to get a contract that is bigger than Shohei Ohtani's contract. Ohtani signed a 10-year, $700 million deal with the LA Dodgers that deferred more than 95% of Ohtani's contract to down the line. If Juan Soto is willing to accept a deferment like Shohei Ohtani did, then his contract could eclipse the $700 million mark. We are at a point, ladies and gentlemen, where I am comfortable saying the first billionaire American athlete's going to be a baseball player, because baseball teams have figured out how to wriggle around. They have figured out how to utilize deferments to their advantage. Look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers are going to have a billion-dollar salary roll, but a lot of it is going to be deferred for dozens of years down the line. Juan Soto expected to make more than Shohei Ohtani. We'll keep an eye on that. Let's get to item number three. The field for the NBA Cup knockout round is set, and we are now guaranteed a new champion. The LA Lakers were eliminated from advancing to the knockout rounds with losses to the Suns and Thunder next week. There were still spaces that were available in the field of eight. The dust is settled, and the eight teams are now locked in. Out of the Eastern Conference, the Milwaukee Bucks, New York Knicks, Atlanta Hawks, and Orlando Magic are in. Out of the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder, Houston Rockets, Golden State Warriors, and Dallas Mavericks are all in. Going into last night, there was still a lot up for grabs. The Hawks, Rockets, and Warriors were the three teams locked into the quarterfinals entering last night. The other five spots were available and up for grabs, including two games in the East, the Magic at the Knicks and the Bucks at the Pistons. But the drama did not last long. The Knicks and Bucks both raced out to massive halftime leads and cruised to dubs on the back end. Whether the Knicks could possibly knock out Orlando, which had a 60-point differential entering play Tuesday out of the quarterfinals, well, that ended with a blowout victory. It ultimately did not matter. The Knicks did at one point lead by as many as 37, which was the amount the Knicks needed to knock out the Magic and allow the Celtics to reach the quarterfinals in the wild card instead. But Orlando eventually fought back to make it a little bit more respectable, 121-106 Knicks victory, and that did allow Orlando to fight their way in and lock up that last spot. So the NBA Cup knockout round, live from Las Vegas, Nevada, is now officially set. There you go. Your water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know. Coming up on the show, Rob Anario, is going to join us in the next segment. We will talk a little bit about the LEO Santa toy drive that is coming up starting tomorrow. Then we will wrap up the hour with Denton Day, SiriusXM's college football overtime host. We'll get his thoughts on last night's ranking. In the 8 o'clock hour, the audio blitz, a fun little Twitter debate. A couple of major college athletic directors are duking it out on Twitter. We'll get to that coming up. We've got a major name entering the transfer portal that could start a chain. We'll get into that and a whole lot more. Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits at 8:40. All that coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Yeah, rocking and rolling, 7:21 in the AM. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate, Rob, the great one, Lonzo, with you. And if there's anything better than one Rob at 7:21 in your mornings, it's two Robs at 7:21 in the morning. Ladies and gentlemen, the other Rob, well, that's me. The primary Rob in this segment, as we get set for the LEO Santa toy drive taking place at the Bonscore Wellness Arena that starts tomorrow morning at the same time as this show, 6 a.m. o'clock. My man Rob Inario joins us here on the show to run us down what's happening. Rob, what's up, big dog?
Oh, just getting ready to kick off a wonderful holiday season and possibly a season of frustration at the NCAA playoffs.
I mean, come on, Rob. You watched that last night and thought, what a lovely set of perfectly made decisions by the committee, didn't you?
Well, I deal with people that make questionable decisions under the influence of various substances, and I would love to know what they were passing around.
It was something, Rob. I'm glad you brought this up. Let me give you my number one take, and then I want your biggest takeaway from last night. It makes no sense to me when we talk about Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, three teams that are all very close to each other in terms of performance, in terms of the eye test. The argument is, yeah, South Carolina's playing the best football of those three teams at the end of the year, but they did lose a head-to-head to both of them. I'm fine, honestly, with whether you stack in Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina, or South Carolina, Alabama, Ole Miss. What I'm not fine with is how did you manage to drop Miami in between Alabama and then Ole Miss and South Carolina? It doesn't make any sense to me at all, which has been my problem, Rob. This committee for the last handful of years has made these decisions that you go, I'm fine with whatever subjective measurement you went to arrive there, but make it consistent and make it known. And like a wonderful politician, they avoid ever actually doing that. That was my biggest gripe from last night. What did you take away from it?
Well, I didn't get to watch it last night. I saw all the fallout. I was preparing for the toy drive. But as a suffering lifelong Gamecock fan who was present at the university for 21 consecutive football losses, it's the chicken curse. It's the curse of being in the SEC, where we might be one of the top teams in the nation one year, but we can't even get out of the SEC East due to the national champion coming out of the SEC. So all I can figure is they're trying to spread the love and figure, well, Gamecocks fans are loyal and stand by no matter what, so we won't piss too many of them off.
I look at this, and I've said, Rob, for years, and I pointed this out last year when Alabama jumped Florida State. I said, look, I'm really mad about this. And a lot of people said, well, of course you are, Rob. You're from Florida. You covered Florida State for a long time, which is true. But I said at the time, I'm not mad that it's Florida State. I'd be mad if this was any team. The reason I'm upset is because the precedent has now been set that if you can find any excuse to do it, it feels like this is a way to shove Alabama into these playoffs. And that is going to cost more teams down the line. A, I still think I was right, and B, here we are 1 year later, and not only did it happen, but it happened to a team that represents half of the listening audience right now. Now, all of a sudden, those same Gamecock fans that were telling me I was just butthurt last year because I was a Florida kid who was upset that a Florida team got the shaft, now all of a sudden, they got the same problem as I do, Rob Inario, and I find that, I don't know, oddly comforting.
Well, it is definitely odd. I'll say that. Comforting for you, but yeah, being a South Carolina boy, I'm used to it.
Welcome to the club, bud. Welcome to the club. Robin Area joining us here on the show as we get set for something that we did bring him on to talk about as much as we could, and we'll talk football for another 2.5 hours after this. The LEO Santa Toy Drive firing up tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., going all through the night, all the way until Friday morning. Rob, this is an incredible event that you guys do every single year. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of it of just a minute, but tell us a little bit about the event.
This is a wonderful charity. I'm thrilled to be a part of. So several years ago, a Greenville County deputy used to fill the trunk of his squad car with toys around Christmas season whenever he had to go to a domestic disturbance or some sort of unsettling situation. And if he saw a kid and noticed there wasn't presents under the tree, he'd let him pick out something out of his cop car. And that turned into a tradition for the Greenville County Sheriff's Office. And then a few years ago, I believe it was the Hallmark Channel did a story on it. Donations started flooding in, and really quickly the sheriff said it needed to be organized. So we have formed LEO Santa, or L-E-O Santa, Law Enforcement Officer. Probably should be called First Responder Santa, because we have a lot of firemen involved as well, and EMTs and professionals from all over. And it's a wonderful event where for 28 hours, I will be there the whole time, awake, freezing, warmed by the joy of you bringing toys. And I've done this event for a while. I've done a similar event with another charity. And the toy collection part of it is fantastic. But what really stands out to me about this is the delivery day. These officers will load up their squad cars. We load up the fire trucks, the SWAT trucks, the mobile command center. We roll into neighborhoods, lights and sirens flashing. After a few minutes, people start coming out, and we give toys to kids. And watching the officers get to have a positive interaction with the child, with the family, where they're not there to take mama to jail or take daddy to jail or call in DSS, but watching them get to have a positive impact in the lives of these children, I think it does just as much for the officers as it does the kids.
I have no doubt. I mean, it's an incredible event, and I know for folks in positions like law enforcement officers and first responders who are you know, unfortunately regularly brought to traumatic situations involving kids, the ability to give back, not just that it is Christmas, but just the ability to give back to these kids who are frequently caught in, unfortunately, in traumatic situations that they have absolutely no blame for, outside of they just happen to be in the wrong spot to the wrong people at the wrong time. Even if you can just give them one day where they can sit back and enjoy and be a kid for a minute, that seems like a pretty fantastic cause.
It is. Last year, we collected 15,000 toys, which sounds amazing. And when you look at a room full of toys, it is amazing. And then it's becomes kind of sad at how quickly those toys go out and how many neighborhoods don't get reached. We try to give roughly 3 toys per child. So we helped 5,000 kids last year. And again, that sounds like an impressive number, and it is. I don't want to minimize any of the good that this charity has done, but there are so many more that still need help. And even if we could reach every child in need in Greenville County, 5,000 more toys would be one more toy per child. So, and that's not even reaching every child in Greenville County. So we really appreciate the support of all of you listeners. We're looking for toys for all ages, but given this is a sports show, I think a lot of your fans are sports-minded. So basketballs, footballs, soccer balls, any type of sports kit, skateboards, those are fun. Helmets, always needed if you get skateboards or bikes. But I would encourage all of your listeners to try to find a sports-related toy and then bring it by anytime from 6 a.m. tomorrow to 10 a.m. on Friday, and we'll get it in the hands of a child in this area. And if all of you business listeners are out there, if you want to bring in a truckload of toys, and we've had several businesses will fill up a pickup truck or a box truck, is a wonderful promotional activity. Great shots for social media. You can get a little bit of a bonus to your business out of it in terms of exposure while helping out the local community. It's a win-win for everyone.
It really is. Rob Anario joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Elio Santa Toy Drive starting at tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., running through 10 a.m. on Friday. Rob and Greenville County law enforcement and first responders will be on hand accepting toys and donations. They will have the tactics teams out there, the canine patrol units out there to help underprivileged kids this Christmas. Rob, incredible event. Before we let you go, if you don't mind, just run everybody down on all the details. If they maybe can't make it out to the well, but they want to pitch in, et cetera, where can they find everybody at?
A lot of your Greenville County fire departments have drop boxes for toys. We'll be at the steps of the Bon Secours Wellness Arena. It's going to be tough to miss. There's going to be a lot of flashing lights. 4 to 8 p.m. we're going to have pictures with Santa and try to have some kids' activities. We had the DUI demonstration last year with pedal cars and drunk goggles. That was fun. I'm undefeated against Stone Man in the drunk driving challenge.
Like that?
We'll probably have that again. You'll see the bomb squads, the canines. You're going to see a lot of activity at the arena. If you have time for a toy, great. We would love to get a toy. If you don't have time for a toy, pull through the box office and somebody will happily take a monetary donation. If you don't have time for that, Leo Santa Toy Drive is the website. And we should have a link up there so we can do online giving as well. If not, we should have that any moment now. It's supposed to be going online soon if it hasn't already. So leosantatoydrive.com will have the information about the charity. But if you're driving through downtown Greenville anytime from 6 a.m. tomorrow to 10 a.m. on Friday, you're going to see a massive police presence, and all you have to do is stop, and we'll tell you how you can help us best.
Rob Inario, my man, listen, I know you're going to be out there for, 28 consecutive hours. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, bud, but they got a sale on gloves on Amazon right now, and I think they do overnight delivery.
My lovely wife has bought me the heated jacket, heated gloves, heated socks, and heated beanie. So I should be at least mildly frozen.
I mean, if not, bud. Just think about where the Gamecocks got ranked in the playoff committee. That ought to heat you right back up.
Yeah. And I'll have to say that one of the greatest joys of this as a criminal defense lawyer is standing around 2 a.m. telling war stories with cops. And it's actually really improved my relationship with local law enforcement. And I've gotten some cases worked out by standing around 2 o'clock in the morning talking to cops as they swing by while dropping off somebody at the jail.
See?
So it's
it benefits everybody.
It does. And this is about the kids, but this is your chance to help the children and help local first responders have a better Christmas. So I encourage everyone to come out and do a wonderful thing for us.
As do we. Rob Inario joining us here on the show. You can learn more by going to leosantachristmas.com or just, listen, pick up a toy, grab some cash, throw it in an envelope, head on down to the well, hand it to Rob personally. Rob, great to have you, buddy. Thanks as well. Good luck for this event, and we'll talk to you down the road, pal.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Take care.
You got it. Rob Inario helping with the LEO Santa Toy Drive. Kicks off tomorrow, 6 a.m. at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena. Stop by, bring an unopened toy or just an envelope full of cash. Help out the underprivileged kids of the upstate. When we come back, Denton Day is the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM. We'll ask him about his thoughts on the playoff rankings. If you have a question you'd like asked of Denton Day, text it, 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. We will ask Denton a couple of fan questions, as well as get his thoughts on where the Carolina Gamecocks are ranked, all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, with you. And we are now absolutely thrilled, elated, ecstatic even, to be joined by a young man we talk to every week at this time to get his thoughts on the landscape of college football. He is the host of Sirius XM's College Football Overtime. Joins us every Wednesday at this time. My dog, Denton Day, joins the program. What's up, big fella?
I'm good, man. I don't know if I should address you as Rob Brown or Tony Stark, but you look handsome today.
Thanks, buddy. I mean, I look handsome every day. I just look handsomer today.
With the Tony Stark glasses.
Yeah, we haven't figured out why he just suddenly started wearing sunglasses. And the more people mention it, he's going to keep wearing them.
For the record, Denton just jumped on and said, I looked very handsome today. That's why.
Ask him how many pairs he has.
How many pairs do you have?
Five of them. I'm working on 6 and 7 when they release the new colors.
I was about to say, so they better be all different colors. If you had five just blues, nope. I feel like that would be weird. But if they're different colors, I can get with
it. So far, blue, black, red, yellow, orange. I'm waiting on purple to drop. When the purple ones drop, those will be in the mail real damn quick, Denton Day.
Get some green shade on there as well.
When they drop green, those will be in the mail real quick. Listen, I got too many jerseys. Look at that. I got too many personalized jerseys, Denton Day, not to have the color match sunglasses to every one of them.
Can you name drop yourself? Because that's what you're doing. Your name drop. You're turning around so people can see your name
is,
on the back.
Denton Day, am I wrong? Isn't publicity the name of our game?
That is true. I actually like that jersey a lot, too.
Isn't it dope? Look at that. Local hockey team, buddy. Greenville Swamp Rabbits. Can't touch it. It's untouchable. Name on the jersey. You can't beat it. Let's talk some football, big dog. I want to start with this. I have my biggest grievance. My biggest grievance right now is that Miami's wedged in between Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina. And it's not that I think Miami should be ahead of Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina should be behind them. It's that, to me, I can't come up with the logical reason that Miami is behind Alabama, but ahead of Ole Miss and South Carolina, three teams that we've been fighting over, how should they be separated from themselves? It doesn't make sense that Miami isn't above all three or below all three, whichever one you want to pick. And it leads to, whether it is correct or not, Denton Day, more fuel on the fire of the conspiracy theory that the committee's goal is to get the big brands, specifically Alabama, into these playoffs. Are you joining me on that ledge, talking me off of it, or kicking me off of it like Leonidas in 300?
I'm probably pulling you back onto the ledge. Miami shouldn't be ranked above them. Miami, with two losses, is not a good football team. Outside of the fact that they have been ranked for the entirety of the season because you had to rank an ACC team high, and because they had a guy that we thought was going to be a Heisman contender, and Cam Ward still might get to New York, they have no quality wins. I mean, if you can pull up their schedule right now and tell me what their best win is, please do. Because I don't think there's a single win on there that I would say this is a great win for a football team that wants to be in the college football playoff. I mean, you're looking at like Louisville. And like, can you imagine saying that Louisville is your best win and then saying we should be in? No, you blew a 21-0 lead against Syracuse. Like, I know you were on the road, but you can't be blown a 21-0 lead and still be in this conversation. So I was stunned that they were where they were. I think they should have been beneath all of them. I think they should have been beneath Arizona State, because at the very least, while Arizona State doesn't have Cam Ward, they have wins that are way better than any win that Miami has.
The issue for me, Denton, isn't whether or not you think Miami should be above the three, behind the three, further behind the three. The issue to me is, what is it that separates Alabama and Ole Miss to drop Miami in there? Or what is it about Miami that justifies dropping them in between? What makes them worse than Alabama and better than Ole Miss is the question mark for me. And the fact that here we are, yes, we're multiple years into the college football playoff selection committee with a four team. This is a new model. It's a new format. It's a new way of thinking about the playoffs. That's all well and good. My question is, why was that decision? And they sent Manuel Ward on ESPN last night, and he got asked why Alabama-Miami. None of them said why Alabama-Miami, then Ole Miss and South Carolina. And I cannot, as big brain smart boy as I am, Denton Day, I can't come up with an answer to that question, which, again, just fuels the conspiracy theory, in my opinion.
The answer would be that they've had them ranked highly the entire year. Is that a justifiable answer? Probably not, but that would be the answer, because they have thought so highly of Miami throughout the course of the season that they would still find a way to wedge them in between. I don't think they should be wedged between Bama and Ole Miss, because I think Ole Miss should be in over Bama. But we know the reason that Alabama is in over Ole Miss. And you can argue strength of schedule and all these different things, but the reason is because they're Alabama. They scored 3 points 2 weeks ago against Oklahoma. A team that is known for their offense scored 3 points, and they're still somehow in the college football playoff discussion. It's baffling. It's because they love the brand, and Alabama is going to draw eyes, and you can justify it with now that there's 12, say, well, we just put them in there. We're going to get some eyes on the first weekend and keep it moving. You couldn't squeeze Alabama in if there was 14, obviously, but because there's 12, you can kind of be a little weird and eye testy, if you will, which again, they don't pass the eye test because they scored 3 points 2 weeks ago. Ole Miss should be in. And if it wasn't Ole Miss, it should have been South Carolina. I was stunned. I know we'll get to this, so I apologize for my hijacking here. I thought that with the inception of the 12-team playoff and having more spots to play around with, you would really incentivize teams that as the season progressed, got significantly better. And there's no team in college football that is a better example of that than South Carolina. They lose games early in the season. I mean, we've talked about that Bama game. I mean, if that pass is like 2 feet lower, they go to overtime, and then who knows what happens in overtime. But the way they have gotten better and progressed throughout the course of the season, I take them over Miami right now. I take them over Bama right now. Bama has been figured out. If you force Jalen Milroe to throw and take away his ability with his legs, you're going to beat them. You're going to beat them. He's not a great, consistent thrower of the football yet. He could get there, certainly. It's why you play college ball. It's not fair to expect everyone to be great immediately. But right now, he is not that. They showed us that with the Oklahoma game. But then because they beat a lousy Auburn team, all of a sudden, they're back in the good graces of the committee. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I think that's what most South Carolina fans are upset about, is the fact that Alabama beat at home a 5-win Auburn team versus South Carolina, who ended the year by going on the road and beating a top 12 Clemson team. A team that, by the way, is still very much alive for a playoff spot, obviously beating SMU in the ACC title game. I'll be at that game Saturday night. And they jumped up a single spot, and not just a single spot, but stay behind Ole Miss, who lost to a Florida team that, I will give them, looked a hell of a lot better at the end of the year than they did at the beginning of the year, but still a 7-5 Florida team, and behind a now Miami team that, as you pointed out a minute ago, have no quality wins, played not just against an ACC that is not a good conference, but didn't really play any of the top dogs in the ACC outside of Louisville. The gripe, I think, for South Carolina fans is justified, which is why I've said for a while, the one thing I want out of this committee is a damn camera and a microphone in that room so that what is happening is crystal clear. Because I think bunking in behind some hotel ballroom walls and saying this is what we decided, but we're not going to tell any of you why we decided it, is just objectively bad for college football. The only thing it is good for, Denton Day, is college football playoff television rankings, which at this point, I'm convinced are their number one metric for lining up these teams the way that they do.
What's crazy, because if you put a camera inside that room, the ratings would be way better. With all due respect to the guys on the panel, and I like a lot of those guys, but the ratings would be way better if you put a camera in that room and you got to hear these guys discuss. And I think like the reason that I'm with you on that one, I just want to know the process. If you come to a decision, like, I don't mind that they kept Florida State out last year because their quarterback got hurt. Does it suck that they were unbeaten? Sure, but I can understand the logic behind that decision. It's these decisions where I want to know the logic that I feel like as a fan and as a, you know, a supporter of this sport, we are owed at least a little explanation as to what decision was made and why that decision was made. You don't have to give us every single detail, who voted which way, who was really on the fence for which team, but I need something that's more than Ward Manuel sitting there getting peppered with questions, doing his best to dodge them, because that's really all that he does. I love that they have attempted to put him on camera, and then he does like a teleconference after, but he really just dodges a lot of the questions. I just want a little bit of clarity as to why they view certain teams the way that they do. And if we disagree on that, then we can disagree on that. That's fine. That kind of drives this thing anyway, right? But just the clarity is something that's very much missing.
Denton Day is the host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime. Joins us every Wednesday at 7:40 to talk college football with us here on the show. We've butted heads before. I think you and I did it on BetQL at one point, the Florida State-Alabama thing from last year. And I've made the argument that, all right, I get it. Their quarterback's down. They're not going to be the same offense, despite the fact that they went to the University of Florida and won a game. The fact that they still won a Power 5 conference championship game without the quarterback. What we are saying at that point, to me, this is just my subjective opinion. We can fight about it again, is the body of work doesn't matter. How we view AU at the conclusion of the regular season is what matters. And I don't like that. I do think the full resume, the full body of work from week one to the end of the season should be as much considered, if not more, than how we view you at the end of the season. Obviously, your overall record is the metric that is your body of work. Obviously, strength of schedule gets factored in. But I feel like teams who earn it from start to finish, not just, and this is the argument against South Carolina so that we're clear, not just teams who get hot at the end, but teams that are good from start to finish should be considered. I don't really feel like Alabama is that way. I think that is another part of the reason that this has got me kind of spinning right now.
This year they're not. I mean, I would have put Ole Miss in. As annoying as Lane Kiffin was on Twitter, I hate the pandering on Twitter. Like, you had opportunities to win games, you didn't win games. But I thought Ole Miss deserved it over Alabama. If you look at some of the teams that they played, that they both played and who beat them, I thought Ole Miss was a better team. I thought they were playing better at the end of the year than Alabama was. Somehow Alabama doesn't have either. Like if you and I want to argue about full body of work versus who is playing the best at the end of the season, Alabama fits into neither of those. Like, they really don't. They're in this third category of, have you seen our logo? Do you know what Nick Saban did here for a long period of time? We got a star quarterback. Have you heard of him? That's where they fit in, because they don't have a great body of work, and they're not playing their best football at the end of the year.
Denton Day joining us here on the show. All I'm hearing right now is what I've been saying for a year now. Brand is one of the biggest metrics available to you, is being confirmed. All right, what else, if anything, about these rankings popped off the sheet at you last night, Denton Day? Was there anything else that really stood out? I mean, it is interesting that we talk about Alabama and their ranking over Miami, whatever. There's a path where it doesn't matter, where nobody from that group is getting in, depending on what happens in the Big 12 championship game, the Mountain West championship game, the ACC title game. There's a chance none of those teams get in. That was probably the next thing that jumped off the sheet at me. What was it for you?
I'm confused as to why they don't love Arizona State. I thought they would be infatuated with this Arizona State story, because they're beating pretty decent teams. I mean, Arizona's not that good, but they beat pretty decent teams down the stretch, and they still don't seem to respect them a ton. I mean, the biggest thing is kind of what you alluded to. What happens if Clemson beats SMU? Does SMU fall out of the college football playoff in favor of Alabama? Because the way that Alabama is placed right now, when, again, we talk about Ward Manuel dodging questions, that was one of the ones that he dodged, where we would have another data point for SMU to then judge them by. I'm like, wait a second. I thought we were going to be in a position to where you were going to highly value the conference championships and getting to play that extra game versus not. Because if that's the case, why would SMU show up? If they could potentially lose their spot by losing to Clemson for a team that didn't have to play this weekend and a team that has three losses and, by the way, scored 3 points 2 weeks ago, why would they even bother showing up to the ACC championship game if they have aspirations of getting into the college football playoff? So I was stunned with the way that they don't seem to respect the Big 12, and I was stunned with the door that they left open to potentially knock one of the ACC teams out in favor of Alabama.
Yeah, no, I agree. We asked that question a little earlier in the show, so we got another minute or so left, and then I'll ask it to you now. Manuel Ward said last night, you cannot improve if you're not playing this weekend, right? You can't improve. You can't go up. You're done. You got no more data points, whatever. My question mark is, how far down can you go? And he never answered that question. He never said, hey, listen, if you lose your conference championship game, you could fall a bunch of spots. We won't move you down. I said earlier, like, changing the game for me is new rule. If you play in and lose your conference championship game, you can only be jumped by other conference championship game winners. You can't be jumped by anybody who did not play that weekend, but there was nothing said of that sort. Does SMU stay inside that field of 12 if they lose the ACC title game to Clemson, assuming it's a close game and not a blowout?
If it's a close game, potentially. If they lose by double digits, no. The way that they're ranked right now, like if you look at just the bracket itself, you see them at the 3 spot and you're like, oh, they're sitting pretty good. But if you look at the actual rankings, you have them at 8. Almost every time that a team has lost this year by double digits, they fall in 4 spots. Almost every single time. And 4 spots leaves you on the outside looking in. Clemson then comes in, Alabama moves up, and then you have a Big 12 champion or group of 5 to solidify that 12 spot, which, by the way, I think of Arizona State wins the Big 12, they jump into the bye, and then you get a Boise State on that opening weekend. But I think if SMU loses by double digits, they're out, and they're going to have Alabama in instead. I hate that, but I think that's the way they're going.
Then 10-second answer. Who you got, Clemson or SMU?
I got SMU. I think SMU is a great offensive team, so I got SMU.
Kevin Jennings, not just an absolute dog. We'll find out. Denton Day is the host of College Football Overtime on SiriusXM. Also a host and producer on 106.7 The Fan, joins us every Wednesday here on the show. Denton Day, when next we talk, brother, we will have the final rankings and the bracket filled out. Looking forward to it, my dude.
I can't wait for it, man. This is what we live for.
Denton Day. Absolute legend, fashion icon in college football, brainiac. He'll be back next week to talk about the final rankings. We have got much more coming up. We've got Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us in the next hour. We've got the audio blitz coming up for you as well. All of that and more after Lonzo seduces you with this sports flash.
Or just makes you feel tingly. I mean, which is kind of the same thing, I guess. Last night, an unranked Clemson men's basketball team upset number 4 Kentucky 70-66, earning the ACC's lone victory so far in the ACC-SEC Challenge. The Tigers have 4 scorers in double digits, led by Jaden Zachary with 13, Chauncey Wiggins with a dozen, and Ian Shefflin with 11. The college football playoff rankings dropped last night. Oregon, Texas, Penn State, and Notre Dame make up the top 4, followed by Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee, SMU, Indiana, and Boise State in the top 10. Alabama sits at number 11, I saw that, likely holding the final at-large spot, while South Carolina trails Miami and Ole Miss at 14. Clemson falls to 17 with Saturday's ACC title game left to play. Tune in tonight at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Florida Gulf Coast Eagles. It's Furman versus FGCU right here on The Fan Upstate.